We've had a change of team here at Staggering Stories, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Crumbly, well, his eyes have fallen out, so he's gone to have them polished and put back in again.
Scooped.
Jean is buried under email. I'm not entirely sure. I don't know if she means her computer fell on her. And that was actually a cry for help, in which case, sorry, Jean. So we have a new member of the team. We have Trixie. Trixie has the charm and good looks of Jean.
Right.
And she's falling asleep on the sofa like Crumbly. We've discovered she doesn't know how to play the yellow car game when we're out walking.
It's very disappointing.
So we're not sure how well she's going to do when it comes to commenting. Hello, Trixie.
So, welcome, 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 one and all, to this podcast number...
464.
464 of the Staggering Stories. Without further ado...
Oh, we haven't introduced ourselves.
Oh, yes. No. Well, without further ado, we shall introduce ourselves.
Oh. I'm Fake Keith.
I'm Adam.
And I am...
The dog's lapdog.
Actually, yeah, I probably am. You know, something seemed to have gone wrong there. As you said, small animals and children adore me.
They do.
Because they probably feel superior.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
It's when the grandson, aged 6 weeks, rolled his eyes at you.
that probably did it. Anyway, without further ado...
It's time for the news!
With El Presidente!
Woo.
Woo! Woo!
Excited.
Doctor Who news.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Big Finish Day and more. Ooh. We're going to Big Finish Day.
Yeah.
As we await the broadcast date for Shutigatwa's second season of Doctor Who, we will instead focus our beady eyes on those audio mongers at Big Finish. Ooh. The day of the Big Finish 2025, their annual one-day convention, has been both dated and located.
Ooh.
The time is Saturday, the 21st of June at 10 a.m, and the place is the Quad in Derby.
Mm-hmm.
The Hoovers Group will help organise the event, and they also have their very own annual Hooverville convention at the same location on Saturday the 30th of August. Plug, plug.
Plug, plug, plug.
Absolutely. In the meantime, Big Finish Day will include such guests as Colin Baker, Peter Purves and Tim Treloar, with more to be announced.
Mm.
Of their usual audio mongery fare, they have a new Classic Doctors, New Monsters set due out.
Mm.
The fifth box set will feature the second Doctor, Jamie and Zoe, against the Krillitane from School Reunion, the fourth Doctor and Leela with the Lupari, the dog race from Flux, the seventh Doctor and almost companion Ray from Delta and the Bannermen against the Krillitane again, and the eighth Doctor and Chris face the monks from that Capaldi's Bill trilogy.
Who's Chris?
Yeah, Chris is a new one.
I'm not up to date with... clearly.
Are you sure you don't mean Keres?
Apparently Chris.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
In non-Doctor Who, but definitely time travel story news, Irwin Allen's The Time Tunnel for audio.
I saw that on the website.
Yeah.
In what sounds a lot like the recent Quantum Leap revival TV series, a new modern-day team is reactivating the Time Tunnel to try to find the original characters who never made it home in the 1960s TV series.
Mm.
Two box sets have been announced for February and November of this very year.
Because if I remember rightly, Time Tunnel just finished and then they repeated the second episode. It went essentially back to the beginning again.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so they never had a reason for them not getting back?
No,
it just ended.
It just ended. It just got cancelled. So,
60s were wild, man.
So as I said, for the next episode on the next season, they repeated episode two again.
So they were... in a time loop.
They were. They just looped around and around and around and around.
Can't
and
say
around.
I saw it.
And around and around and around and around and around. Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah.
Worlds of Wonder. Not quite dead.
Mm.
The travelling Doctor Who exhibition and with a sciencey bent, Doctor Who. Worlds of Wonder. You think should have reverb on that.
Mm.
Anyway, has gone quiet after its most recent excursion. But it is to return. This time it's heading for San Diego.
Woohoo.
In those so-called United States of America. It started its travels in Liverpool in 2022, then to Edinburgh in 2023, and most recently in Wellington, New Zealand in 2024. Those tended to be roughly 5 months' assignment, but the Comic-Con Museum in San Diego will have it for a whole year, from the 15th of March 2025 through to the 14th of March 2026.
Well,
that's the one we went to see, wasn't it?
Yes, we saw it in both Liverpool and Edinburgh.
And Edinburgh. Right. Yeah, that was
we didn't go to New Zealand, sadly. No.
Well, we should have done.
That was really lax of us, wasn't it?
We should have done. That would have been an excursion.
I have been to the Comic-Con Museum in San Diego, though.
Oh, get him.
You did, yeah.
La-di-da.
It's every year or so ago. It's a weird place.
Yeah. Is it where Comic-Con's held?
No, but it's in the same city. It's not. It's within walking distance of the
in the vicinity.
San Diego
Conference
Center.
Is it next to the Comic-Con Bakery and the Comic-Con Library?
It's in this big park where they've got several museums.
Fair enough. We couldn't have gone to the Australia one anyway.
Why not?
I'm not going anywhere with that many spiders.
What's New Zealand? Are they quite as bad?
I don't know about New Zealand.
Oh, is it New Zealand? Of course it is. Wellington. Yeah. I'm sure it's just as bad. They've just got hobbits there as well. And they'll have more spiders because they've got much more greenery.
And they'll be bigger.
Why are you holding your hands like 3 feet apart?
You remember Lord of the Rings with Shelob?
Oh, yes.
That was a big Do you think he's still there?
He could be. The big spider with big pointy teeth.
Could be. Anyway, David Lynch.
Dead.
Yes.
Yep.
David Keith Lynch.
Oh, poor boy.
Filmmaker and actor. Has died at age 78. A middling innings at best, I'd say. To the likes of us, he's probably best known for writing and directing such films as Dune, The Elephant Man and Eraserhead, and for the TV series Twin Peaks.
Yes.
And I know nothing much more about him.
I'll tell you something, though. He had hair that Anson Mount could only dream of.
Yeah.
I've only ever seen his Dune. I've never seen Elephant Man, Twin Peaks.
Oh, The Elephant. You've got to watch the Elephant Man.
Yeah, I should. It's got John Hurt in, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely watch The Elephant Man and, watch Twin Peaks.
I've got Twin Peaks on in the box set, DVD box set. Yeah. I've never got around to start.
Oh, when it came out, it was just insane.
Huge, yeah. That really made his name more than anything.
Totally. It's best watched if you're on something, and it may not make sense if you're sober.
But no, the Elephant Man is something special.
Mm.
Okay.
I mean, people with a soul cry at it, so you may just go, and raise an eyebrow. Mm.
And the other things like Blue Velvet, isn't it called?
Not seen Blue Velvet.
It's meant to be a famous and very good one, but yeah.
Mm. Any addendums?
Oh. No. Christopher Benjamin.
Dead.
Yes. Oh, poor Henry Gordon Jago. Indeed.
Christopher Benjamin have trod the boards for the last time, dying aged 90.
That's a good innings.
Benjamin is best remembered for playing half of the Doctor Who Victorian duo of Jago and Lightfoot, bringing us an unforgettable Henry Gordon Jago, owner of the Palace Theatre, and then next, the New Regency Theatre. His double act with Trevor Baxter as Professor George Lightfoot in 77's Talons of Wing Trang was so good that Big Finish brought the duo back, quickly granting them their own extremely loved spin-off series. Also for Doctor Who, he appeared as Sir Keith Gold in Pertwee's Inferno, and as Colonel Huge, I'm going to mangle this, Colonel Huge Crishenby.
It's Hugh Kirbishley.
Thank you. Colonel Hugh Kirbishley in Tennant's The Unicorn and the Wasp. Other roles over the years saw him appear in the likes of Danger Man, The Prisoner, Avengers, Z-Cars, The Saint, Jason King, Protector, Minders, Dempsey and Makepeace, Yes Prime Minister, Campion, Casualty, Inspector Morse, Lovejoy, Midsummer Murders, Doctors, and pretty much every other British TV series ever.
Yeah. Yep. A huge series.
He's one of these jobbing actors that was always employed but never broke the glass ceiling to become famous.
Why would he want to?
But I think he made a good enough living.
Yeah, absolutely. And he did a lot of stage work too. So imagine all that TV work plus stage on top. He kind of had a spare minute.
My main regret over this is the fact that we will not have Jago turn up in the Paternoster Gang.
Yes.
Oh, which would have been glorious. Because they were hinting at it because his name was dropped quite a few times.
Yes.
In a couple of them.
Maybe they've already called something. I don't know.
Yeah.
We did get to meet him as well, didn't we? Hooverville. We had sat down, chat with him, which was very good.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Trixie, what did you think of him? Oh, one of your favourite actors. Oh, okay. Well, that's good. That's good. Better than that Baker chap. Oh, okay. Controversial opinion there, young lady. Thanks for wiping your nose on my arm, by the way. That was much appreciated.
I have an addendum.
Oh, yes.
What is your addendum?
One left off of the Big Finish Audio Mongers entry.
Oh, yeah.
They have now released Trespassers 3, or they've advertised Trespassers 3, The Last Stand.
Okay, what's Trespassers?
Paternoster Game.
Oh, right.
Trespassers, right. Number 3, so The Last Stand.
Isn't it a series of four box sets? So?
Oh, it's part 4 then. So there you go.
Is it? Okay.
Oh, yeah, sorry, the warning, there are spoilers for Trespassers 3. So it's Trespassers 4.
Right, okay. That makes more sense for the name then.
The Last Stand.
I'm sure it won't be. Hopefully it won't be.
It's the Silurian greatest detective versus the elusive criminal mastermind as the Trespassers arc comes to its climactic last stand.
Ooh.
And there's a picture of the cover there. And Strax isn't looking very well at all. I would go as far as say we have a zombie Strax.
Ooh. Oh, okay. He's been dead before.
Yeah, he'll get better. Any more addendums?
No, that's my only addendum.
And that's the end of the news.
Woo!
Right, we've been watching some Star Wars.
We have.
We've also been watching some Star Trek in the form of Section 31, but the less said about that, the better. If I wanted to watch jumped up things that think they're Star Wars but don't achieve anywhere near as much, then I would have watched that. But I think, anyway, Skeleton Crew is what we watched.
Yeah.
Pause for music.
You should postpone your rant until we actually watch it and other people can put
I'm pausing for music. Stop talking. Really liked this.
Yeah, it's good fun. It reminds me very much of the feeling of that original trilogy of Star Wars.
Yeah.
So the kids were much younger.
It's a bunch of four children who are what? About 10, 12, something like that?
Probably about 13, 14.
I think they're older. Okay.
Yeah.
And they accidentally leave their home world and have to find their way back home.
Yes.
They thought they'd found a Jedi temple.
Mm-hmm.
They had not.
Yeah. There is very much a Goonies.
So I've been told, I don't.
What is it? Goonies and...
Stand By Me.
Stand By Me and Stranger Things vibe running through.
Yes.
It's mainly because it's...
Stranger Things.
Yeah, because we're centering on kids, but it's certainly an adult... adult also story.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. Some horrible things happen.
Yeah.
And Jude Law's a total dick.
Yes. Yeah, we weren't quite sure if he's going to be a good guy.
Yeah, at the beginning we're thinking, he's a good guy.
The character is very much in the Han Solo role, but he goes the other way than Solo.
Whereas Solo went towards the light, Jude Law just went, I'll go where the money is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jordan No Wood or something like that. He had several names.
Yeah,
he was a scoundrel.
Yes.
But not a nice,
not a good scoundrel, no.
Yeah.
So now these kids break into what they thought was a buried Jedi temple.
Yep.
They're on this planet that's shielded from the rest of the galaxy.
At-Atin.
At-Atin, which is really, really, literally has got a shield around it, a barrier, and they know nothing about the outside galaxy. They don't know what's going on.
The whole population is geared to the great work. Which
is making credits.
Yeah, we find out eventually it's making credits. But for the first couple of episodes, you're not told that.
It's just
that each one has got their... Everyone's got their assigned role.
Yeah.
And when the kids grow to an age... They get assigned a role for the great work.
They have a test and they're told what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And of course, like any intelligent kid, these four are a bit ticked off about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, at least three of them are. One of them, the tiny little elephant boy, Neil.
Neil, yeah.
Yeah.
He was so sweet. he kind of got dragged along unwillingly.
Yeah.
They explore the Jedi Temple. It turns out to be a spacecraft.
Yes.
With the most wonderful droid.
Pirate droid.
Pirate droid with a mouse living in his eye.
SM-33.
And a peg leg.
He's a pirate droid.
Yeah, exactly.
What more do you expect? Yeah.
Voiced by Nick Frost, of all people.
I did wonder.
And they head off out into the universe because they want to get away. They didn't head off on purpose.
No.
It kind of just happened.
it's one of these almost hitchhiker-like. press the button. Please do not press this button again.
Oh, it was a wonderful scene, wasn't it? This massive red button and this little boy's face. And it, don't press any buttons. And you saw his tongue come out as his hand comes over.
Was sort of guiding itself.
But, yeah, they meet Jude Law on... It was on the space station, wasn't it?
Yes, he was being he was being held as a prisoner on the space station.
And they find themselves chucked in prison and all manage to break out.
To begin with, he makes himself out as a Jedi, because we certainly have distinctive Force powers there.
We had lots of theories about that. We wondered if... Because this is set between...
I think it's meant to be just after Jedi, isn't
it? It's Mandalorian era. So it's
we wondered
five,
if perhaps
six, seven,
he was one of the younglings that got murdered by Anakin and he'd got away.
Yeah.
We thought perhaps because he'd be about the right age.
Mm.
Or was he a Jedi that got kicked out of the academy? Yeah.
Was he a fallen Jedi?
But it turns out he was just a dick.
I was pretty certain he wasn't Sith, because the Sith are like the Jedi. They're dedicated to doing not so nice things, but it's still dedicated to following a religious path.
He was dedicated to money.
It's interesting, because up till now, Star Wars always implied if you stray away from the light, you always turn to the dark side. But he hasn't really.
He'd have killed them.
Yeah, he managed to go that middle path of the grey...
He's gone to the scoundrel side. He's a Harry Mudd character.
A little more vicious, maybe. More nastier than Harry Mudd, but
But he didn't harm the kids.
No.
Spoilers,
but... there was...
But he, at times he didn't do anything to make sure they weren't harmed.
Yeah.
Didn't harm them himself.
There was a level that he wouldn't cross, as in directly killing them, directly harming them. He threatened them.
Oh, yes.
We had more than enough threats but...
Yeah.
The kids were wonderful. The depressing thing is, not one of them was born before 2010.
I suppose not, no. No.
There was Wem.
Yep.
He's the main protagonist.
Sort of, although, Fern is the other one.
We start off with him, don't we? Neil, his best friend, who's the little elephant.
Little blue elephant type guy.
Then there's... Was it Fern?
Yeah.
Yeah, Fern was the...
The other rebel.
Yeah. And her friend, who... Was she a cyborg?
She was cybernetic.
She had an accident of some kind as a child.
Yeah.
And they put this big implant into her brain.
We're not given the full details. Yeah. It's just we're told that it was an accident at some point in time.
And after a bit of bartering and bantering between the two parties, they agree that they're both going to explore the Jedi Temple together. There was very much a lot of, well, boys are better than girls, well, I'm bigger than you and I'll punch you. Which is the standard fare for bantering and bartering when you're that age.
I think it's Wem who decided it was a Jedi temple, because
he's got the comic book.
He had that 3D comic book.
Yes. Of course, all their references are back towards the Old Republic. They don't know anything about the Empire.
No.
No.
That all seems to have happened after they were cut off.
Yeah.
You're not sure at the beginning what the planet actually is at Atin, because you've got droids everywhere, security droids, who make sure they observe curfew, they don't go out of certain areas or into certain areas.
They're not allowed in the deep forest.
Yeah, and you're wondering if it's some sort of prison planet.
It does feel like it, all those droids everywhere, security droids.
Yeah.
Just watching their every move.
Which I did love, because the security droids looked exactly like walking security cameras, because they didn't end in a head, they ended in a camera. And I did love Atatan, because the only village or the only town there.
Yeah.
It's Scalectric.
Slot cars.
Slots in the road, and the cars go at a set speed.
The kids all have like miniature speeder bikes, don't they?
Yeah.
It was almost E.T.-like. When they were all running they all snuck out at night to go and explore the temple, and it was very, very E.T.-like with the boys on the bikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a great speeder chase through the trees at one point.
Yeah.
Which look so much better than the one in Return of the Jedi. Things are coming a long way in the last
40-odd years.
And then we have also peripherally touched the parents.
Who at first you're like, I didn't like Wem's dad at first, because he didn't seem to be paying attention to him or listening to him.
Yeah.
It sounds like his mother had died.
Yeah, you get the idea that he's lost his wife, so he's still... Yeah.
But he was still... I didn't like him, but he really comes through.
He was dealing with that and wrapped up in that.
And work.
And work. And,
At Atin, isn't on any of the maps.
No.
It's gained
planet.
Legendary status.
Yes.
And everyone wants to find it. And of course, the kids are telling everyone where they're from.
Not knowing, yes.
Wem is given some pocket money because his dad wasn't going to be there.
Yeah, it was for his dinners, wasn't it? And it was proper old
gold
credits.
Yes, from the Old Republic.
Which, when they get to the pirate encampment, which I still can't help but think of that it's...
Tortuga?
Yeah, Port Royal, Tortuga in space.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
It's very, very much that. Yeah. And to get supplies and try to find their way back and a route back to Atatin, they start splashing the credits, which gives an immediate effect to the pirates around them.
Yeah, they hadn't seen this sort of money. It's worth so much.
Yeah.
For them, it's worth actually nothing.
Yeah, it's a couple of credits, a couple of coins.
They were getting some soup, weren't they, from the bartender. Yeah. They wanted some soup, and he's given him this coin.
Probably worth hundreds of thousands.
You saw the bartender's eyes light up.
Yeah. He was probably buying £1.50 soup with £1,000. That's when they spring
Jude Law,
and he recognizes the credits and throws his lot in with them,
as he would,
because he gets them out by using the force to pull the keys over.
Also, I'd like to note the main captain, the bad guy from what used to be second in command. It's the dog thing that we saw in the original Star Wars in the cantina.
I didn't notice that.
I think you can't see it in the special edition because it's in a mobile mask, so it was replaced. But this one is an animated. Yeah. He speaks, he talks, he's, you know.
He's the dog thing.
He's the dog creature from...
And that was pretty cold-blooded, the way that Jude Law's character offs him.
They had beef. They had a history.
Yeah.
Because, as we haven't mentioned them yet, you do get a small teaser with this unknown figure wearing a mask, a full face mask, breaking into an empty vault to which his team, which includes the dog thing, rebel and...
They rebelled quite viciously and terminally.
Yeah, so there's history.
Mutiny.
There. Yeah, mutiny. Mm. Again, back to Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, it's very piratey.
He's, what is it, the dog thing is Captain Barbosa.
There's also one of the other side characters was the owl.
She was
like a librarian, wasn't she?
Not directly, but sort of a Yoda character. Yeah.
The ending of the whole series is pretty much open for the second series, isn't it? With her. She basically takes the kids literally under her wing and gives them clues, gives them pointers and tells them to contact her if they need any more help.
She gives them, manages to rustle up a map, not to Atatin, but to another credit planet, which unfortunately has fallen on bad times, has been destroyed.
It really was destroyed.
It's been abandoned.
It wasn't Alderaan level destroyed.
Ransacked
and
desolate. No one's there. It's been abandoned.
Yeah, possibly the Empire got to that in the early days of the Empire.
Could have been.
Now, Trixie did have a lot to say about this planet, but unfortunately she's gone to sleep. So I'll get her to write it down for next time.
Okay, yeah, we'll get back to that. So, yeah, they go to the not Atatin to try to find places.
They're trying to fill in the...
the map.
The corner of the map's ripped off, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. They have their treasure map, which gets them home.
Yeah.
They need an extra piece for it.
Again, Goonies.
Indeed, yeah.
Let's face it, any treasure hunting story.
Yeah. Well, they go from there to actually get to Atatin, but were followed by...
Jude Law's lot,
because he is left...
Because he got the ship back. He kidnapped them, was really rude to them, and made them sit in a corner while he flew the ship back.
Well, according to the droid, anyone...
SM-33 or Smee.
Yeah, Smee. Anyone can challenge the captain for the control of the captaincy, which...
He did.
Jude Law did.
Yeah.
We're still semi-good guy because he begged them to surrender.
Mm. Yeah.
He didn't outright sort of punch, hit or...
No.
He did have a big gun, though, and...
Yeah,
they wouldn't have suddenly chance.
Yeah. No.
If they do get a second season, I hope they do, it'd be interesting to see where they take that character. Does he get his redemption arc or not?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because usually, you would assume by the end of the season he would have had a redemption arc.
Like I say,
but they didn't.
He was very much a Han Solo character.
Yeah.
There was certain... He wasn't nice, he was a bad guy, but there were certain levels that he wouldn't cross.
Mm. Yeah.
So there's still a chance he could become Han Solo.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe, yeah. The longer game.
Yeah.
If you look at Star Wars, you've obviously got Han Solo, you've got Lando.
Yeah.
In, you've got Talon Card if you go into the Thrawn books. Dodgy characters who come good in the end.
All scoundrels who redeem themselves.
Yeah.
If we go to the pirate planet, because that's where they pick up the lightsaber.
Oh, yeah.
Blue lightsaber.
The blue lightsaber.
So it was weird seeing a slightly fallen Jedi type character with a blue lightsaber.
Yeah. It was something that was mentioned in a role playing game, the Star Wars role playing game. It was a beautiful demonstration here is to properly use a lightsaber, you needed force points, force skills.
Yeah.
And there's one glorious point where Wem ignites the lightsaber, but it's upside down.
Upside down,
so almost takes out his own leg.
Yeah, it skitters away.
Well, it's before he activated the lightsaber, he's looking down the end of it. It's like, what is wrong with this kid?
Yeah.
We find I can't remember his name, Jude Law. They get to they get to Attatton with Jude Law and with the pirates in tow, who attempt to take command of the credit planet.
Yeah. Well, yes, they assume that he's an emissary from the Republic
because he's they don't know what's
apparently
been
a
happening.
Jedi.
Yeah,
and they haven't had a visitor for decades.
Destroys. What was that? The Overseer or something?
The Overseer. Yeah,
the Overseer.
Stephen Fry's character,
which was basically a massive R2 head.
Yeah. R4 maybe.
That's what it reminds me.
He seemed kindly and he was looking out for them.
Yeah.
And Jude Law shoved a lightsaber in his eye.
Yeah.
But I think the droids should have been slightly smarter because there is one sort of point where there's a bit of a giveaway where Jude Law is on his knees in front of this massive stack of credits that are sort of falling off and raining around him. And he laughs. He laughs a lot.
He does.
Yeah.
And it's not a good laugh.
He's probably droids, maybe.
He begins to get slightly hysterical at one point.
Well, it was a lot of credits.
It was a hell of a lot of credits. They were probably CGI'd, but I love the way they sort of slid off falling around him.
So, we're not going to tell you how it ends. You can pretty much figure out how it ends.
But it's Star Wars.
We loved this from beginning to end, didn't we?
Yeah,
it was really good.
It was the kids were fantastic. It's always hit and miss with kids. You never quite know. But these four, they were very, very good. So one of them was an elephant. So it was only his voice.
Yeah, having said that, even so, he went above and beyond. He was the one who activated the quad mount and then did a runner at the last bit.
It was exploding.
He was the one who actually was flying the ship at one point in time.
Yeah.
So. He wasn't the one who pressed the big red button.
He was not the one who pressed
not to press the buttons.
But they all bounced off of each other nicely. Yeah. They interacted properly.
Yeah, there was no bitching.
No.
Just kids being kids.
Yeah, it was natural.
Yeah.
It was really good. Yeah, and after The Acolytes, which got a lot of hate, I don't think it was that bad. But for me, it was the weakest of the series. But this has really brought it back.
Yeah.
This is how they should do Star Wars now, I think. Take it back to that action adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sheer fun.
Yeah. I think that's what's been missing
some of them. Some of them. Definitely Mandalorian had it.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly if that's two seasons.
Yeah. Yeah, I really hope this gets a second season.
Yeah, I hope
and
so
And it's not
too.
On Netflix, so there's a good chance it might.
Well, you say that. They did cancel The Acolyte. I think this got even worse viewing figures, bizarrely.
Really?
Although, word of mouth, I think you got better episode by episode as word of mouth came out.
Well, as I've said before, so many times before, it's very rare for a season to hit the ground running. It always takes a season, two seasons to get its act together and this one is one of the ones that hit the ground running.
Yes. Yeah. Like Mandalorian did.
Yeah. And to cancel it after one season does it no service.
Yeah. It's one they should have faith in and let it build its audience, definitely.
Yeah. Right, we'd love to know what you lot thought of Skeleton Crew. So write to us via show
at
staggeringstories.net. To each.
Aye.
Trixie's still asleep. Her contribution so far has been lacking. Right. As well as watching Skeleton Crew, we've been listening to Some Big Finish.
Dum, 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 dum.
Pause for music. Ha ha ha. Adam, what did we listen to?
For the love of stories. is Once and Future, Coda, the final act. 1 year later.
This was the ending of the whole degeneration.
Yeah. Yes.
Cycle.
Now, this is Joe Martin.
Yes.
Who's always awesome.
Fugitive Doctor.
And I hadn't known what I was going to be listening to, so it took me a couple of minutes to go, John Hurt. But John Hurt was already dead when Joe Martin... What's going on?
Good,
but, of course, it was someone impersonating John Hurt and doing a damn good job of it.
Jonathan Carley.
Yeah, I thought he was very good.
Yeah.
It's also, it's also got Lisa Bowman as Benny.
Yep.
Yes.
Or and, Lenny.
Or Lenny, depending on... And was it Imelda Staunton as Queen Elizabeth I?
No. Imogen Stubbs?
Imogen, I always get those two muddled up.
And it was Chase Masterson as Vienna. Yes.
And she was Lita, wasn't she? In,
DS9.
Dabo Girl, one time.
So, talk to me about this. I was going to call you Andrew then. That's not your name.
No.
Oh, Trixie, you're awake.
It's alive.
Don't call her it.
This one, for me, very much comes out of the Big Finish comic strips.
Right.
Big Finish usually do sort of two types of stories, two or three types of stories.
Right.
One, it is, again, like the books, way too big and large and huge.
To fit in, yes.
Yeah, to fit in.
Yeah.
One is directly sort of a TV pastiche.
Yes.
And then the other one is what I would call a comic strip story.
Okay, yeah.
It's slightly sort of out there, as in...
I thought this is definitely that.
Yeah, this is a comic...
The Ram.
Yeah. I love the Ram.
The Ram was brilliant.
I love the Time Ram. Yeah.
Yeah, so in this one, we have the two hidden doctors.
Yes.
The Fugitive Doctor and the War Doctor get to, face off against each other.
I do like the fact that they don't really meet face to face until right at the end.
Yeah, they're on the actual battlefield.
And neither of them are called or introduce themselves as the Doctor.
No.
So you don't get that recognition.
The War Doctor wouldn't do it, naturally, and Fugitive Doctor just didn't. I don't know either.
Yeah, so for the most part, they're fighting each other without realising who they're fighting.
Yes, it's all been a setup.
Yeah.
And somehow tied into the fact it's still within 15 hours of the end of the degeneration cycle.
Yeah.
So there's that extra energy.
Yeah.
Like with the regeneration cycle where you can grow your hands back.
Yeah, there is something, the degeneration energy, which is affecting the timelines or affecting... Mm-hmm. So anything that happened during it may not necessarily have happened.
Yes.
I think that's the gist that they're trying to get across.
That's where they ended up. Big reset at the end.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
Big convenient reset.
It didn't need to have a reset there.
No. Not really.
They killed off a character to bring him back with a reset, but the character nobody knows or cares about.
Yeah, the character was introduced in this story.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily, as we got the Fugitive Doctor story starting, the character might come important later then.
Perhaps.
But, because also, like quite a few of this Once and Future, it is sort of a semi-advertisement to the other doctors in the range.
Yeah.
The not the TV actors, the ones that have stepped into the breach.
Yeah, so we've got the so-called young War Doctor.
Yeah.
Who doesn't sound much younger than the War Doctor we know from John Hurt.
Well, there was a period where he did sort of... It's all that whiskey. So John Hurt has always had a relatively gravelly voice.
Yeah.
But yes, throughout the course of the story, we have the introduction at Vienna's, to which he gets thrown in a jail with a blob.
A blob, yes.
A blob that, it turns out, can affect
mood.
Yeah, affect the mood.
Causes the War Doctor to do things he wouldn't normally do, apparently.
Yes.
Although, he is a War Doctor, so...
Yeah, how far... This is it. How far would he go?
Yeah. Apparently, he wouldn't do some of these things like recruit Queen Elizabeth I.
Yes.
To fight in a space battle.
And you do get the sense that Queen Elizabeth I recognises that this is the Doctor, which is also Doctor number 11, which is also, more importantly, Doctor number 10.
Mm-hmm.
So that explains even more the reaction at the end of the Shakespeare Code.
Maybe, although at the end of this one, she doesn't remember much of it.
No.
But she has apparently got a husband or something, which goes goes against history, but never mind.
Yeah, confusing.
Yeah, it's very much a bit of fun, this one.
Switch the brain off.
It's a romp type thing, and it's them really introducing, more than anything, the fugitive doctor to their range. This is her first outing in Big Finish, and her series starts any day now, I think.
I'm not sure about the fugitive doctor in this context, because it's something that Benny kept on mentioning as well, that there's an armory aboard the her TARDIS. This one is more, which is, for me, slightly jars with the, certainly my vision of the Doctor. Now, I know this is a future Doctor.
No, past Doctor.
a fugitive Doctor.
Fugitive Doctor.
Potentially before Hartnell.
Yeah.
So we didn't get
confirmed.
Well, there's quite a few questions whether it's before Hartnell, or can we fit into season 4B after Troughton but before Pertwee.
I feel like people wanted that, but it doesn't fit.
That's some of the various themes. Yeah. But I'm not comfortable with the Doctor using weapons in charge of, you know, be more militaristic.
But that's how she appeared when we saw her in the Tarkins.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not the Doctor that we've seen. Mm-hmm. It's just not the Doctor that I'm 100% happy with.
I think it's perfectly fine, because when she was the Doctor, she was a completely different person. Literally, people develop over time. You can be the same person you were, but your thoughts and your belief system changes the older you get.
Like I said, I understand that. And as I've said, if you fit it in before Hartnell, then you haven't got the exposure of Chesterton and Barbara. And I understand.
Yeah, so that's why I've got no problem with it. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, it's just,
but she was a different person back then.
We'll see how much more. I'll be collecting them. I'll be listening to them. We'll see how much more they develop or push this side of it.
She was just an earlier version of the same person. Yeah. And her views and everything changed once she'd had the influence of humans.
It would change drastically.
Well,
so it happens.
Ernie Hartnell was a pretty harsh guy, more than happy to bludgeon a caveman to death and all that sort of thing.
Who hasn't done that?
Well, yes, but I think it was quite a good way to end it. It probably was. Was it required for Once and Future?
No, not really.
It is called Coda, which is apparently the name of the planet, which is very convenient. But yes, wait a year for it, though. I think that was a bit excessive.
Yeah.
I don't know what the point of that was. Perhaps it was a contractual thing.
It could have been.
They couldn't have the Fugitive Doctor till this year, maybe.
Could be.
Actually, end of last year, wasn't it? November last year.
It's also closer to the debut of the Fugitive Doctor range.
Yes, although that was announced 2.5 years ago or something. I bought it over 2 years ago. So it's not like they haven't had it in the can.
Yeah.
They don't announce these things until they've recorded them, because you never quite know.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty contractual.
But overall, do you think people should listen to it?
Oh, yeah.
It's an enjoyable romp, yeah. So you're not missing anything if you don't get it, from the Once and Future. But it's just sort of a nice little capper.
And Benny, as always, is awesome.
Yes,
Benny. We haven't mentioned Benny really at all.
Or Lenny.
Lenny. It's Lenny.
So does that mean she doesn't remember these? It's very hard to tell with Benny, because she's such a complex space-time event herself. Will she remember the War Doctor and Fugitive Doctor?
Well, again,
who knows?
Well, if they've whacked the reset button, probably not.
Also, it also depends where it's set within Benny's timeline.
Well, it's clearly after the Unbound Doctor. Mm. Yeah, she had a nice little tribute to him, which obviously in real life they were partners, weren't they? So, yeah.
Okay, so we enjoyed it. Well, they enjoyed it. I fell asleep.
She fell asleep.
Really?
Yeah.
I was so tired. I've discovered that listening to audio while snuggling in bed under a nice duvet
is not a good combination.
No. I should have gone for a brisk walk in the rain.
Well, that's actually how I listen to them usually.
Oh,
I listen to them on the way walking to work.
Oh. Anyway, write to us and tell us what you thought of it via show
at
staggeringstories.net.
Before we go any further, we've had a correspondence from that $6 million crumbly. Do you know what it is? It's
Crumbly's Corner!
Hello, Crumbly here.
Hello.
Sorry I'm not at tonight's podcast, but I'm currently in the rather soggy climes of Hampshire at the moment. But I would like to give my penny's worth on what has been discussed here tonight. Turning my attention to Star Wars Skeleton Crew, first of all, a warning. This show may contain traces of pirates.
Yeah.
It is clear to see where the comparisons to the movie The Goonies comes from. There are more air references to pirates and skullduggery than you can shake a rusty cutlass at. Without giving too much away, it involves four kids on their home planet of At-Aten, a seemingly perfect planet of suburban bliss, who discover what they originally think is a Jedi temple in the woods near their home. It is actually in an abandoned spaceship with the presence of a defunct droid, its only crew member. To cut a long story short, they are shot out into space with no apparent way of finding their way home. This is where I drew comparisons to Lost in Space. It is only when they enlist the help of a mysterious stranger who may or may not be a Jedi, they have a chance of finding their way back home. But who is he, and can he be trusted? Skeleton Crew is definitely family-friendly, with noble kids and hissable villains. The cast has been well assembled, with four relatively unknown kids playing the principal characters. Jude Law plays the mysterious rogue Jod, but the award for chewing the scenery without actually being there must go to Nick Frost, who provides the voice for the droid SM-33. To say his accent is slightly piratical would be an understatement. Even though it is set in the New Republic era, you can imagine him saying, "We'll be in old Jamaica before we know it." Every sentence he utters had an added dose of "arr" with it. Watch Skeleton Crew, myself and Fake Crumbly did, and we thoroughly enjoyed it.
Good.
Now, onto a 30-ish second recommendation.
Okay, stop the clock.
A few listeners to our fair podcast may know that I have something of a penchant for the movie Tron. And the 1990s CGI animated series Reboot is a continuation of that theme. Set in the futuristic world of a computer mainframe, it involves the system guardian, Bob, his sister, Dot Matrix, and her younger brother, Enzo. Their purpose is to mend and defend the system from, well, games that the shadowy presence known only as the user sends, and also defend the system from the suave-talking supervirus, Megabyte, and his barking mad sister, Hexadecimal, and their legions. Other characters include Mouse, a rather pneumatic female program, and Andrea, a game sprite who decides to stay in mainframe and there befriends Enzo. Also, there are Hack and Slash, two bungling robotic henchmen of Megabyte, and the Binomes, the inhabitants of mainframe, who look like stylized ones and zeros. Even though it is a children's TV series, there are many themes and characters that adults will recognise. One episode is based on the cult classic The Prisoner, another is based on James Bond, and one Star Trek-themed episode had a character that sounded and acting like Captain Kirk, complete with staccato speech and exaggerated mannerisms. Reboot is groundbreaking in many ways, especially as it was the first TV series that was completely CGI animated. Considering it was only released, first televised only 13 years after Tron hit the cinema screens. Wow. Don't just take my word for it. Beg, borrow or steal the box set and see for yourself. Anyway, that's enough of my inane ramblings for now. So until the next time, this is me, Crumbly, saying, be seeing you.
Thank you, Crumbly.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. So that was quite a bit more than 30 seconds.
Do we have any feedback, young man?
Yeah, I believe we do have a bit of audio feedback.
Who's this from?
I think it's from Catherine the Dragon Maker.
Yay! Catherine!
Hello, Staggerers.
Hi, Catherine.
Hello, hello, Terrence. Have you been a good dragon lately?
He's been wonderful.
Hello, Dave Zillow the Mighty, and hello, Head of Pertwee. It has been a couple of rough weeks here at Shade Dragon, with entirely too much adulting going on.
Ooh.
With any luck, everything will be resolved soon, and I can get back to what I do best, making dragons.
Good, yeah.
I'm also gearing up for Gallifrey 1.
Oh, yes.
I need to make a new shoulder bag and waistcoat and, oh, also need to order ribbons. Add that to the to-do list. I'm glad to hear everyone's opinions of Agatha All Along, which I really enjoyed watching over the fall. While I agree that you shouldn't have to watch WandaVision to understand what's going on in the show, I do recommend putting in the extra time to watch or rewatch it for context.
Yes.
I decided to rewatch it halfway through Agatha, and it enhanced the show for me. War Games. Colorized and cut down. I've watched War Games twice, I think, and listened to the Who Against Guns commentaries. While long, it is pacey enough to keep my interest. I can see what they were going for in editing it down, but as was said, it wasn't written for a modern audience with our shortened attention spans. So does it really work? Colorizing can certainly be helpful with folks who don't care for black and white. Everything at my house was viewed in black and white until late 1985.
Wow.
But you can only speed things up so much. I loved hearing that Siobhan's collection will stay in the family, as it were.
Oh, yes.
And that y'all will facilitate that at Hooverville. I did something similar with some of my mother's things last summer, and still have a large collection of teddy bears to deal with. Slightly sorry to hear that her funeral will be on the 18th of February. It would have been grand to see her off by raising a glass at Galley. We'll probably do that anyway.
You still can.
Yeah.
It just seems the right place for it. Mustache. Be well, my friends. Anon, Catherine the Dragon Maker.
Thanks, Catherine.
Thank you, Catherine. Well, that was nice of Catherine. God, he's glaring at us.
No.
Oh, no. We had to be reminded by the feedback to talk to him.
Again. You never learn.
No, at least we get to go home. Yeah, you've got to live with him.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3.
Hello, Hedbert Pertwee.
Don't kill us.
Hello, Dave Zilla. Hello, Terence. You've been a very good boy for your mummy, by the way.
Inky McSquirts a lot.
And
Dinky McSquirts a lot. Yeah.
Folded up and propped against a radiator, Clara.
Dangerous Churchill. Nazi Spock.
And so many other things.
The cat. Don't forget the cat.
Oh, the cat. You found the cat.
The evil cat.
Yep. Woohoo.
Well, that's about it, I think.
Shall I lead us out?
Please do.
Okay. And so that brings us to the end of another podcast. But fear not, next time there'll be more of the same, more fun, frivolity and jollity, more news and reviews, more who old and new.
Mm.
So until that B for Big Finish comes bounding bountifully, buxomly,
bollockingly,
and besotted with beagles towards us.
I'm not going to come.
This is me, Fake Keith, saying farewell.
Goodbye.
I like that boulder. That's a nice boulder.
You're a strange boy. You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, series 1, number 464, featuring Adam Purcell, Fake Keith, and the real Keith Dunn, and Trixie. The views expressed here are those of the speakers and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers on the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and this has been an El Presidente and Fake Keith production for www.staggeringstories.net.
Trixie, how are you doing? What did you think of it? Did you enjoy it, Trix? Really? With the big rubber thing bouncing on their heads? Okay, well, I didn't actually catch that. Sorry? Okay, well, we could have done that, but I think you should actually listen to the disc. I know you don't have any fingers, so it's not very easy to put the disc in the player. Well, yeah, and the earphones keep falling out of your ears because your head is not designed for them. But surely you can put them on the speaker. Okay. Well, yes, the paws aren't really designed for pressing buttons on and off. I understand that. I mean, that could be a problem. But you could have asked one of us to actually put it in for you, and then you could have listened to the story. Yes. I understand that there are scents and smells and things that occupy your time, rather than just... okay, yeah, that is a thought there. We could actually employ that, sort of a smello discs or smello tapes where the story is done in scents. Well, yes, there is that downside to it. Help.
What is this? Probably a Big Finish arrived today. Oh, a Stuff of Legend, the live version.
Oh,
excellent. She might be able to hear us laughing.
Maybe. It'd probably take bits from each performance.
Oh, yeah, the best ones.
It's incredible the amount you want to cough. You're meant to be silent and then suddenly throat. Itchy.
They have a new classic Doctors, new monitors.
New monitors. They're bringing out, classic monitors.
Did you just let one off, dog? this dog really has farted.
Do you remember someone with big eyes saying, can we take her to the podcast? I know. Should we be ever so quiet and nice?
Well, she's being quiet and nice. She's just guffing onto my coat.
Silent but deadly.
It's very beefy.
But not chickeny.
Someone read the rest of the news.
Django and Lightfoot.
Now, we watched a Star Warsy thing. What?
Weenie time.
Oh, for God's sake. Why didn't you go when the dog went? The tree was big enough for both of you. Crumbly had cataracts sorted out. And is
just a checkup.
Just a checkup to make sure nothing's going to fall out, which would be very embarrassing, especially when driving.
Yeah.